Fame, then, was legitimately hers, but she was a mistress by default. Despite her numerous denials, she wanted marriage desperately, and she was the world's busiest matchmaker. Accepting the emoluments of screen stardom in lieu of a ring, her career became her only escape from the onus of being a backstreet girl dragged into the limelight by her reckless lover. The Riley comic note was that, once there, she was oversold by him as a kind of Madonna. Marion Davies does not figure very strongly in the annals of Hearst as a maker of history. He already had done his controversial turn of helping to drag the United States into war against the Spanish long before he met Marion. She remained very much in the background at San Simeon during the 1932 Democratic Convention when, from his California mountaintop, he helped put across the candidacy of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. It was, like nearly all of his ultimate political decisions, a compromise. But what is significant is that these historical events were 34 years apart, and Hearst continued influencing American history and opinion for almost two decades more. But Marion was something more than an eyewitness to 35 years of her lover's powerful role in American life. She sustained, through her laughter and encouragement, a man who was something less than a titan physically as he moved beyond his middle years. Hearst's way of life was a Cecil B. DeMille epic realized, a little grander than the imaginings of Sir Walter Scott. While at first he seemed some monstrous throwback to the age of feudalism, Marion changed all that. Hearst's lifelong debauch in the Western world's treasures and relics found a focus and inspiration in her. The infectious wit and luminous charm of Marion gave his castle enterprises a redeeming panache. Marion Davies realized that her life story would be a social document of some importance. The very name conjures up an image of the film queen in excelsis, presiding with her lover over an Americanized Versailles. The sunny, blonde pal of kings and the world's great who would go out of their way while in the United States to see Hearst's castle and Marion herself, an attraction of far greater interest to them than Miss Liberty turning green in New York Harbor or any first lady of this century. At least one attempt to set down the facts about her life was aborted. Was she fearful of the consequences? But even if she had succeeded in completing her memoirs, they would have to be suspect. She had moved in a world more improbable than anything in Lewis Carroll's pages.